Nina's pointing her finger at me. Who has pain in their body this morning? Raise your hand. See those hands? Reach next to that person and touch them and say, Jesus' name, be healed. Amen. Right now, say it. Be healed in Jesus' name. Any changes in your body? I got faith this morning. I got faith for big miracles this morning. I got faith because I am a child of the living God. Amen? And so are you, brothers and sisters. And we're here this morning to receive from the Holy Spirit, to receive what he has for us. Are you excited? Yeah. Yeehaw. Jesus, Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Fill this room this morning, God. You're already here. Your presence is here, Lord. Open up our hearts and our minds to receive all that you have for us today, God. And the healing that you've began today in these people's lives, I pray that you would continue. Let your spirit be released. So we've been talking about the Holy Spirit, and it's been a really cool series. Jeff's been talking a lot about the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to continue a little bit in that. I've been praying about it and just asking the Lord, what do you want me to talk about? And we're going to talk about living water this morning. We know what some things that we know about the Holy Spirit that we've learned over the course of the months. As we know that the word, the Greek word of parakletos, it means a helper, advocate, counselor. I just got to use a Greek word because it makes me look really smart. So say it with me, parakletos, or paraclete would be the Holy Spirit, which is, we see in the Bible when it says the helper, it's referring to the Holy Spirit or the advocate, right? So there's your Greek word for the day. Makes me look smart. At least I think it does it? Huh? You got to throw one in there. Everybody says. We know that the Holy Spirit is the third person in the Trinity, right? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So these are some things that we've learned over the course of this. We've learned lots of other things. We've covered things like the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, wisdom, truth, the helper, paraclete, destiny, our destiny. That was a good one. Do you remember that one? You guys here for that? I think we all stood up here. We talked about Jesus and the Holy Spirit, friendship. And then last week we talked about the power of the Holy Spirit. And we all gathered around here. Did anybody feel the power last week? Do you remember coming up here and we all gathered together in that big group circle? And Jeff was going to do what was it? Off the movie. What movie did he say? Braveheart. He was going to do a quote off of Braveheart, but he couldn't remember. I'd never even seen Braveheart, honestly. I know. Every time I want to watch, I just haven't got around to it. So good time. So we know that the Holy Spirit is a spirit of truth, right? It says in John 15, it says, but when he, the helper, the paraclete, comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, will bear witness about me. This is cool because the Holy Spirit will always bear witness of who? Jesus. He's a spirit of truth. He will only say the truth, and he will bear witness of Jesus. Therefore, we ought to bear witness of Jesus if we have Holy Spirit inside of us. Amen? John 16:13, it says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Now, this is us. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He is a spirit of truth, and he has come. He will guide, when he comes, he will guide you into all truth. I love it, because we live in a world full of lies. We live in a world full of fake news. That's fake news, right? And if you want real news, if you want the truth, ask the Holy Spirit, because he'll reveal the truth to you, right? Spirit of truth dwells in within us. Amen. Yeehaw, you guys excited? Woo! Okay. Just trying to get you fired up a little bit. So we've been on this journey for a long time, right? And it's not this sprint like we're just gonna run to the end really fast, right? We've been learning about Holy Spirit. We've been coming here every week, but you know, it's a marathon, right? It's a long distance run that we're doing together, right? And it takes a while. You gotta pace yourself. You gotta take your time, right? I don't know too much about running except for when something's chasing me, then I run. But that's about the extent of my running I do. My son, he's a runner, and he does a good job, and I'm proud of him. He's an awesome runner. He actually ran a marathon when he was 14 years old. Yeah, and he was like 26 miles or something, right? 14-year-old. I don't even like driving 26 miles. And my son ran for 26 miles. That's amazing. So does Michael. Michael's a runner, too. So anyways, we're on a marathon. We're running together. We got to pace ourselves, right? Pace ourselves because we're going for the distance. We're going for speed. Okay, it's a song. I gotta calm down a little bit. I'm a little excited. Man. Okay, so I got a little video I put together because I was in my office and I was like praying and the Lord revealed to me some stuff. He says, I want you to put together this video, but I saw it in my mind. It didn't really come together the way I pictured it, but I did my best to try to make it happen. So I'm going to watch this little video clip. My office when I'm at work. I drive a garbage truck, by the way. That's my office. So I'll be in my office all day, honey, if you need to get a hold of me. The truck. It's just this little box for 10 hours. Okay, so where'd my sound tech go? She left. Okay. So here we go. This is a little video clip I put together. Just some stuff about the Holy Spirit and things that we've learned and about the Holy Spirit.
One of the most neglected subjects in the Bible is the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. You would think that as important as that subject is, that more people would be talking about it, more people would be referring to the Holy Spirit. But there are millions of people who sit in church week after week after week, year after year, never hear a single sermon dedicated to the Holy Spirit and His work in our life.
Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence.
Folks, the Holy Ghost has been telling me to lay hold of that truth. And every time that I walk the street and the enemy comes in with a lie, every time he comes in with a temptation, every time he comes with discouragement, fear, shame, whatever it may be, there has to be something in your heart. And you ask the Holy Spirit, stop if you have to. And say, make the proclamation to me again, Holy Spirit. And you would hear the proclamation of the Holy Spirit because He abides in you as the Spirit of the Son. That I am the Son of the living God. What strength, what power that is. I am not alone. I am not a victim. The enemy cannot bring me down because I am the Son. I'm a Son of the living God. That spirit of sonship that lays hold of the heart. And I walk the street anymore, and I don't let those lies of the devil come anymore. Devil, I'm the Son of the living God. I have a Father in heaven who stands with me, and He's given me the Holy Spirit to remind you, to remind me, to run my flesh. I am not going down. You cannot take control of this mind of mine, because I have the mind of Christ in me.
The greatest love story of all time is summed up in these 25 verses of 25 words that someone has called a miniature Bible. The Bible in a nutshell. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Oh, see, there's way more. There's way more. There's way more. See, what does it look like to be on fire? See, being on fire is like me pouring a quart of gasoline on your head and lighting a match. You wouldn't care what anybody thought. You wouldn't care what anybody said. The fear of man would be done in your life. The fear of God would be exponential in your life. You wouldn't care if someone said, look at them, they look silly. Looking silly isn't a part of the equation. Dignity is not a fruit of the Spirit. We need the power of God in our life. We need the reality of the Holy Ghost and fire in our life. We don't need to play games. We don't need to just play church. We need the power of Jesus to be upon our life. We need to be baptized and saturated in the fire of his presence so that everyone around us gets wiped out and gets wrecked by Jesus. That's what we need. That's what we need. We need Jesus. We need the fire of his presence in our life. We don't need excuses. We don't need anything. We need Jesus. We need the Holy Ghost. We need the Holy Ghost. We need to develop a compassion in an area where we actually care about people. We actually are going out there not just to do outreach, but we actually want to do life with people. Life with people. Where we burn and it's contagious. And everywhere around us, people catch fire with the same flame because it's the Holy Ghost fire. That's what we need. That's what we need. That's what we need.
That's what we need, brothers and sisters. That's what we need. Sorry the audio was glitchy, but man, I was putting that together and it's like, I don't know if it did anything for you, but man, when I was making the video, it just really impacted me in a major way because it's just like, searching all these clips about pictures and audio clips, and I'm a visual guy, obviously, because I use visual aids when I teach a lot, because it's just the way I learn, that's the way the Lord speaks to me, too. I see visual things. But, man, it just impacted me so much, and I was just like, that's Todd White, Charles Stanley, Dave Wilkerson. Remember Dave Wilkerson? Prison, was it? Prison Teen Challenge, Prison Ministries, Teen Challenge down in California. I read the book. I can't remember what's the book called. Crossing the Switchblade. Yes, it's amazing. He go down there and he changed the entire streets, didn't he? It was amazing. Dave Wilkerson. Anyway, so that's what we need. That's what we need. We need the Holy Spirit fire in our lives, right? We need that burn in our lives. We need that indwelling. Janelle made these because she's talking about the fire of the Holy Spirit in class today. I didn't plan that, but I was like, hey, can I have some of those? That's what we need. We need flames of fire. We need flames of fire. Michael needs some fire. Who else needs some fire? I only have three. Henry, thank you for sharing today, Henry. That was good. Because the cross isn't supposed to reveal our sins. The cross, shows us our purpose and how much we're worth, right? Because what you're willing to pay for something is how much you're worth, and God gave his son to prove to us how much we're worth, right? It's not just to reveal our sins, but it's to prove what we're worth, and we're worth a lot, aren't we? So, I tried real hard not to put too much stuff in my notes here. Because I usually have way too many notes. But if you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them up to John chapter 4. We're going to look at a little story here in the Bible. And it's either called the woman at the well or the Samaritan woman, depending on what Bible you have. Did you bring your sword this morning? Did you come unarmed to church? I guess you can come unarmed to church, but don't go in the world unarmed because it's a dangerous place. Probably should bring it to church too, though. So if you have your Bibles, open to John chapter 4. I'm going to go through this. I'm going to jump through, just skip through things. I'm just going to look at this story, John chapter 4. Okay, starting in verse 1. It says, Jesus knew the Pharisees had heard that he was baptizing and making more disciples than John. Though Jesus himself didn't baptize them, I'm reading the New Living Translation. Though Jesus himself didn't baptize them, his disciples did. That's funny. He wasn't even baptizing them, the disciples were, but they thought he was. So he left Judea and returned to Galilee. He had to go through Samaria on the way. Eventually, he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar, near the field of Jacob, near the field that Jacob gave to his son, Joseph. Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, tired from his long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please, give me a drink." He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone to the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, for the Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" I'm going to stop right there. So they stopped by this little town of Sychar, where the Samaritans were. Jesus knew that he was going to go to a place where Jews weren't liked. The disciples knew they were going to a place where the Jews weren't liked. They get there, and Jesus is like, "Go get some food." And it takes 12 of them to go get some food for Jesus. They go down to Trader Joe's, but it's closed because it's Sunday. They can't go to Chick-fil-A. Anyways, okay. So they go down to get some food. Okay, so they leave. So he knows. So Jesus has this divine appointment. He knows he has a 12 o'clock appointment with a woman. So he's like, "I got to get to the well, guys, by noon. She's going to be there at noon, 12 o'clock appointment." He knows. So he's there. She shows up. She's shocked because he's talking to her. Because the Jews and the Samaritans didn't like each other. They had problems. They were half-breeds, the Samaritans were, because they were marrying Jews. The Samaritans were marrying Jews, so they were half-breeds. They were part Gentile, part Jew. And so there was this conflict of interest between, if you go on and read the story, it talks about where to worship and all these things. So there was like this whole disagreement on different things. And so the Jews would try to avoid this place as much as possible because they didn't want to go anywhere near it. But Jesus wanted to go there, which is cool, because he went to the place where nobody else wanted to go, right? And so he's there. She's shocked because he's talking to her. He breaks all the rules. It's like Seahawks and 49er fans. They cannot get along. No matter what they do, they just cannot get along. They're like Seahawks, 49er fans. That's supposed to be a joke. That's supposed to be funny. That one bombed, didn't it? Hold on. Scratch that off. Don't use that one again. Okay, just kidding. So they didn't get along very well. Even though that Jesus knows that the Seahawks are the best, they're his favorite team. Okay, that's enough of that. Maybe one more. Okay, so Monique had her poncho on today. I thought it was beautiful. Seahawk poncho. Okay. Now I got myself all lost here. Oh yeah, so she was shocked. Okay, so she was shocked because Jesus was speaking to her. Okay, so we're going to continue on. Okay, so John chapter 4, verse 10. I'm going to pick it up in verse 10. So Jesus replied, "If you only knew..." Okay, so she said, "Why are you asking me for a drink?" And Jesus replies, "If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me, and I would give you living water. But, sir, you don't even have a rope or a bucket," she said, "and this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob?" Mm-hmm. "Who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed?" Verse 13. Jesus replied, "Anyone who drinks from this water will soon be thirsty again. But those who drink from the water I will give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life." This encounter is so beautiful. This woman doesn't quite get it yet, right? Because she's like, "How are you going to get this water? You don't even have a bucket or a rope, and this well is very deep." So she hasn't quite understood what he's talking about yet, right? She's trying to figure it out. Jesus says, "I will give you living water, and you'll never be thirsty again." What is this living water that he's talking about? What is living water? It's the Holy Spirit. It's his presence. It's him. It's everlasting life. It's eternal life. So he's offering her this gift of salvation, this gift of the Holy Spirit, right? Living water. So she's shocked because she's like, where you can get this living water? Because this is a well. We're out here. Living water was actually moving water. It was like come from a spring or a river. That would be considered living water, bubbling water. Any kind of moving water would be living water. And so she's like, what? You can't get living water out of here. There's a lot of water out there. And I actually looked on Wikipedia. Rafina. She hates Wikipedia. She was sleeping too. Oh, Wikipedia. Here, you can Google this properly for me. How many bottled water companies are there in the U.S.? Because Wikipedia told me there was about 80, but I think it's probably more than that. So there's a lot of bottled water in the U.S., right? And we can get a lot of different types of water because we have, what kinds of waters do we have? We have vitamin water, we have flavored water, we have sparkling water. We got all kinds of water, right? We can go down the aisle in the grocery store and we can just like, water, water, water. Oh my gosh, there's so many waters. Which water do I choose? There's so many of them, right? There's a lot of water. But Jesus offers her some kind of water that hasn't been given out yet, right? He has a special kind of water, right? We can go in the store and find the water, but we're not going to get the right water. How many did you find it? What, 185? What, Wikipedia, did you look at? I must have looked at a different one. doesn't say 80? Yours does say 80. That's what I thought. Sheesh. That's in the U.S. alone. Okay, so... anyways, so there's a lot of water out there, but not water that's going to completely satisfy you, right? Because Jesus tells her, this water, if you drink this water that you buy in the grocery store, you're just going to be thirsty again and again and again and again. And the one that says it comes from the high alpines of the Cascade Mountains, it probably comes from the tap water in the back behind the alleyway here or something, you know, right? It's not. It's probably just a lie anyways. So that's not true living water. Jesus has true living water for us. Okay, so in John chapter 7, verse 37, it says this. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out. I love this. He stood up and he cried out. Now I can't see my notes. He stood up and he cried out. He said, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart, will flow rivers of living water. Wait a minute. If you believe in him, out of your heart will flow rivers of living water. So that means I can take this water bottle here. Here, take this. Take this. Write living water on there. The living water that's inside of me, I can put it inside of a bottle and I can sell it. I can market it. Because I have living water inside of me. Just like you, brothers and sisters, have the living water living inside of you so you can offer it to other people. $20 right there. Living water. Living water, that's actually something that happened in the Bible, didn't it? He's like, how can I get some of that? Because he wanted to make money off of it. So it says, is that right? Right? Jesus says, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. That's beautiful. So out of our hearts flows this living water, and we can give it to other people. We can share it with other people, right? Yeah. St. Augustine, he testified that he lost much time seeking the Lord outwardly instead of turning inwardly. This is something that happens inside of our hearts, right? It's an inwardly thing. Holy Spirit, speak to me. Holy Spirit, talk to me. Holy Spirit, give me wisdom and revelation. Holy Spirit, I love you. Right? It's a relationship that we build with this Holy Spirit. It's alive, right? He is alive inside of us. The paraclete, the helper, the counselor, the advocate, the one who stands before the judges, fighting for you, fighting for me. That's our advocate, the helper. Amen. There was a gift that was promised long ago. And Joel talks about this promised gift. In Acts, he says, go wait for this gift that my Father has promised. So I pick it up in John chapter 4, verse 15. It says, this is her response to this living water. She says, please, sir, the woman said, give me this water. Then I will never be thirsty again. And I won't have to come here to get water. She says, please, sir, I would love to like to have some of this water. She has an invitation to receive this water, and she wants it. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Matthew 5. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst. So in verse 16, Jesus says this to her. This is when he like starts to read her mail, and he prophesies over her. He sees her, who she really is. He says, go get your husband, Jesus told her. And she says, I don't have a husband, the woman replied. You're right, you don't have a husband, for you have five husbands, and you aren't even married. And the man you're living with now is not even your husband. And she says, you certainly spoke the truth. The truth? The spirit of truth? Jesus will always speak the truth. Jesus saw her for who she really was. This poor woman, we hear this story, and people, I listen to a lot of teachings about this, and they're like, they're bashing this woman. They're like, this horrible sinner, she was like sleeping around, had all these husbands, and she can't even keep the one that she's with. And women were mistreated very badly in those days, right, in that culture. A woman could be divorced by a man for burning their meal. My wife never burns meals, thank goodness. But in that time, if you burned their meal, a man could divorce a woman. A woman could never divorce a man. So, and here's another thing, because they're like, oh, she's divorced all these men. It doesn't say divorce anywhere. We don't know what happened to them. We don't know what happened. We don't know if they died, they got sick. We don't know. So this, basically, what I'm saying all this is we can put a twist on this story. Instead of like bashing this woman, let's look at this woman like, as a human being and do what Jesus did and saw her for who she really was. Is she's a broken, rejected, hurting woman who needs Jesus. Yeah? That's how we need to see people, right? That's what we need, right? We need the Holy Spirit to give us insight on people's lives so we can see them for who they truly are, right? So we can look beyond what everybody else is looking at. She came to the well at noon, which is very uncommon because noon was the hottest time of the day. They would usually come in the morning or in the evening when it's cooler. Probably because the other women were mean to her, right? Oh, there's so-and-so. She's at the well. So she probably came at noon when it was hot. So, of course, she's at this point in her life where she's like, I need something. And Jesus is like, I got what you need. And she's like, give it to me. Give me that living water. Yeah. Am I preaching now? So this whole interaction is happening between Jesus and this woman. And this is how I see it. I see her down just listening. And he's breaking another rule. He's teaching to a woman, and you weren't supposed to teach to women either. He's in a town he shouldn't be in. He's teaching to a woman that he shouldn't be teaching to. He's breaking all the rules. I love it because he's setting an example, right? So he's not only teaching the woman something important, but the disciples come back. Check it out. He tells her that he's the Messiah. And then the disciples come back. This is verse 26. I'm starting. The disciples come back and they were shocked. They were shocked to find that he was talking to a woman. But none of them had the nerve to ask, what do you want with her? Or why are you talking to her? They were chicken to even ask. They wouldn't even ask, why are you talking to a woman? He breaks the rules. He's showing this woman that there's more and you can have it. But he's also showing the disciples, this is the way that we treat people. This is how we treat people. We push through the things that are uncomfortable to love people at their lowest points in their life, regardless He's given an example for us all. This is the way we treat people. We love them, right? We love them for who they are. We give them something and we offer them something that we have because we carry this fire, this spirit inside of us, right? It's in our insides, right? We need a fresh filling of his fire this morning. We need a fresh filling of his spirit this morning, right? Because it'll empower us to do the things that we're so chicken to do half the time. I'm scared to death to get up here and teach, believe it or not. But I know that the Holy Spirit's going to give me the power to do that. Because power, when it talks about power, here's another Greek word. It's called a dunamis. The dunamis power. It means the ability, the energy, the authority, the might, miraculous power. It's where we get our root word, dynamite, dynamo, or dynamic. So when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power. You will receive this dynamite power, this thing that will transform you. And then I go and I say, man, today I feel very powerless. And I don't feel very powerful. But the scriptures say that I will receive power because I'm not raising people from the dead. Most of the time when I pray for people to get healed, they get worse. So I don't feel very powerful. But it doesn't say you will receive power just to do the miraculous miracles. You're going to have power just to do your everyday life. Right? He's going to give you the power to be my witnesses, it says. So how do we become a witness of him? We don't have to raise the dead to be a witness. We can be a good co-worker. Amen? That's the power that he's going to give you to be an example to others, right? He will give you the power to do what needs to be done in that moment. Power. Oh, hold on. Yeah, you'll be my witnesses and tell people about me everywhere. So power without purpose is kind of like the guy with the lowrider truck. With the big, huge subwoofers, and they're like going down the street, and it's like boom, 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 boom. He's got all this power in his truck, and he's sitting next to the stoplight, and you're like, oh, that's really annoying. What's the point of all this power? That's like power without purpose. But, beloved, we have power with purpose. The purpose of our power is to set people free, to give them life, to give them a living water flowing from our inward belly, from our hearts. Yeah? That's the power that we get. And if you want to raise the dead, he will let you raise the dead. Because people do get raised from the dead. But it's not about that. That's great, and I want that. But that's not what it's necessarily about. But if it brings people to the gospel, it brings people to the cross, then he will do it. Okay, sometimes I got to wrap this thing up. Sometimes, I told you I'm trying to keep it short, but I can't do it. So sometimes we get the Charlie Brown syndrome. Like, that's what I get sometimes, because I'm like, look at her gift, and look at her gift, and look at her gift. So Charlie Brown, like the Great Pumpkin, they're going trick-or-treating, right? And they're knocking on the door, and they're like getting the candy, right? And they're standing out in the front, and they're like, what'd you get? And they're like, I got a chocolate bar. And then she's like, what do you get? And I got some taffy. What'd you get? I got a lollipop. Anybody know this one? Charlie Brown pulls out something. What'd he get? I got a rock. This happens like 3 times. Poor Charlie Brown's looking around. He's like, man, they get the good stuff, and I get a rock. What's the deal? I get a rock. But this is where it breaks down a little bit, the story here. But the rock that you get, there might be a purpose behind that rock. Amen. Poor Charlie Brown, he's always like, but you get all the good stuff, you know? And he just gets a rock. But that rock probably has purpose. Just ask the Lord, he'll show you. Woo! I will build my church upon this rock. Peter. Okay, so I'm going to have my friend come up. You guys all know him. This is Michael. Michael is going to, he's been touched by the fire of God. He's been touched by the Holy Spirit. And I don't know because what he's going to say, because I've been waiting to hear it. But he's going to share some things that's been going on in his life about the Holy Spirit and the fire that's going on in his life. But okay. I'll let you go now. Okay, you ready?
I'm ready.
Do your thing, man.
All right. Thank you. Listening to Kevin is just getting me fired up right now, because just to see his passion just overflowing right now, it's amazing. It's awesome. So, like Kevin said, he's scared death up here. So am I. I'm not doing this under my own power, but with the power of the Holy Spirit. When Kevin texted me last week, he asked for me to get up here and share what's been going on in my life. And instantly, I was like, no, not going to do it. And I felt the Spirit, yeah, you are. I go, no, God, no. And it's, yeah. I go, okay, yeah, I am. So I texted him back and said, yeah, I'm going to go up here. So over the last 10 years or so, my journey with the Holy Spirit has been like a roller coaster. Sometimes I really feel him, and then sometimes I don't. And I get disconnected. And not that I'm doing anything bad, or it's just my relationship is just not there with the Holy Spirit. So the last year and a half, maybe 2 years or so, I've been kind of in that low slump where my relationship wasn't that strong with the Spirit. And about the beginning of July, my wife and I were sitting on our couch watching The Office. I don't know if anybody watched The Office. And we were watching an episode where where Pam and Jim get their newborn baby christened at the church. And I don't know why, but as soon as I saw that, my heart just like opened up, and the Spirit just hit me like a ton of bricks. It was insane. I was like, yeah, it was crazy. So I look at my wife and I start telling her all this stuff that the Spirit's just flowing through me right now. And I just, I'm like, what do I do? And she just goes, text Jeff. Okay, well, I haven't talked to Jeff at this point in months. I haven't talked to him. And I just picked up my phone. It was like 8 o'clock at night. And I texted him and said, hey, Jeff, can you meet tomorrow? And he goes, will 2:30 work? No questions. And asked me what's going on. Just, will 2:30? Yeah, okay. So I go and talk to Jeff. And the Spirit kind of gave me some words that I was talking with Jeff about. One of them was, I felt like spiritual preparation was something that the Holy Spirit was giving me. And I wasn't sure what that meant. And Jeff recommends I get a book, The Forgotten God. I know he's talked about that a lot, from Francis Chan. It's a very good book. I actually got me and my wife a copy. And so as I just continued to dive into what the Spirit was offering me, I realized it wasn't so much like spiritual preparation, but as like the relationship with the Holy Spirit. Because how do we prepare for something? It's through, especially the Spirit, it's through communion with him. It's through talking to him. So I found myself pulling myself out of this dark time, not necessarily dark, but disconnected time in my life, as just diving back into the Spirit, listening to more worship music, more Christian music. On my way to work, I listened to Caleb on the radio, and it's just, I didn't realize that in just our daily lives, we can just be with walking in the Spirit. The Spirit's always within us, but I never really called on him to come out into my life. And all we have to do is just talk to him. Simple as that. And that's how we build relationships with anybody. We open up our hearts to what they have to say. And so as I've been building my relationship with the Holy Spirit, like Kevin was saying, we're not in a sprint, we're in a marathon. I don't know if anybody knows a lot about running. Is it's not necessarily something you can just get up and do. It's like first day you run a mile, and the next time you go, maybe you'll run a mile and a half or 2 miles or something like that. It's, we can't just go out. If we go out and we try to run 5 miles, we're going to fall on our face, you know, out of breath. So. And I think that's what the Spirit is doing to me, is we're in this for the long haul. We're building up our endurance, our spiritual endurance, our communion with him. And because when this happened to me, I just thought, okay, God, I go, you must have something amazing, like for you to come down like this, so powerful. And I'm sure he does eventually, but it's baby steps, right? So, and it's acting on when the Spirit is calling you. Because if he tries to give you something amazing and you don't have such a good relationship with him, you might not listen, or you might say, well, is that really the Spirit talking, or am I just making this up myself? So I'm learning, as I'm communing with the Holy Spirit, just to more, I guess call it sensitivity, more spiritual sensitivity, to where I can know it's Him when He's calling upon me. And it first happened when I really accepted the Spirit. Say, okay, well, it was two weekends ago, He asked me to come up. The Spirit did, gave me a word for my wife. And then when Kevin gave this to me, or asked me to do this, I was like, well, I guess we're in this now, huh? Like, we're doing this. It seems like every time I get really connected with the Holy Spirit, He makes me come out of my comfort zone. And for me, the biggest way to come out of my comfort zone is to talk in front of you. So, but yeah, it's just amazing how the Spirit works in us. And we don't have to do a whole lot. All we have to do is listen and talk to Him. And He's there. He just wants us. He just wants us to relationship with Him, to be with Him. And He'll guide us, and He might make you do things that make you uncomfortable, but that's just how we grow, and that's how we grow closer to Him. So,
hold on, stay there. Stay there. I saw a picture, so stay there. Michael's on fire. Michael got some fire. Michael had an encounter with Jesus. I'm going to fan this flame of fire. Everybody get out of your seat. Because you're going to get some of this fire. You ready? Come on. Get up here. Get in line. And you're going to come through the fire. You're going to get some of this fire. Because we need to fan this flame of fire so we can all receive it. Come on. Get up. Out of your seat. Come on. Come on. Hey, Dan. Dan, do you know the song, I Got a River of Life? I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Makes a blind to walk. Wait. Makes a lame to walk. Makes a blind to see. Opens capped prison's doors. Set that. Do that song. Come on, get in line over here. We're going to go through this fire together. Come on. We're going to receive some of this fire, this Holy Spirit fire. Come on. Come on, it's contagious. Come on. It's contagious. Get it. You know what happened to the Samaritan woman when she received it, the living water in her life? The Bible says she went back to the village, and the village believed because of her testimony. Yeah, because she encountered Jesus at the well, she went back and the city was transformed. Can our city be transformed by a little bit of fire in our lives? Huh? Yeah, receive the fire. Can you feel the fan blowing on you? Woo!
I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Makes lame to walk and blind to see. Opens room, da-da-da-da. I got a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up a well within my soul. Spring up a well and make me whole. Spring up a well and give to me that life abundantly. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Makes lame to walk and blind to see. Open river, that's the captives free. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up a well within my soul. Spring up